Good morning, everybody, and happy Sabbath. Yesterday, Alice said to me, "You are so brave, Mrs. Sutherland." Thank you, Alice. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, our Lord, thank you for your grace and mercies and love. Thank you for your word, which we can share with others. And we invite you here today. May your Holy Spirit help me to deliver the message and for everyone to receive it. We pray in your precious name. Amen. So, message today came from Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Since I was baptized to the Seventh Adventist faith, I was thinking that baptism is just the final phase of becoming a Christian. But however, Jesus said that baptism is not the end of our mission. He said to make disciples, and according to the book of Acts of the Apostles, the church is God's appointed agency for the salvation of men. It was organized for service, and its mission is to carry the gospel to the world. And I would like to read this mission statement of our church. It states, "Make disciples of Jesus Christ, who live as his loving witnesses and proclaim to all people the everlasting gospel of the three angels' messages in preparations of his soon return." One of the greatest needs today, today's Christians, one of the greatest needs of Christians world today is the development of disciples of Christ, and not just the church members. Baker's Encyclopedia of the Bible states that disciple is someone who follows another person or way of life and who submit himself to the discipline or teachings of that leader or way. If summarize Matthew 10, Luke 14, and John 6, we can say that disciple of Christ is one who trusts his doctrine, rests on his sacrifice, absorbs his spirit, and imitates his example. I would like you to turn with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 13. We are going to read a few verses from 1 to 9. "On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitude were gathered together to him, so that he got into the boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, 'Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth on of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded the crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ear to hear, let him hear." So much of the ancient economy was agricultural, and they would understand that parables which Jesus was giving examples, all these parables, agricultural parables. So here I believe that we have got farmers and gardeners, so we understand as well this process. And we know that the harvest depends on the soil and not on the seed. The seed is good and grows, but its success depends on the soil. It is a good soil where the seed grows. Here Jesus gives the cycle of evangelism. This is our first point. For example, if we will have a look at the apple, what can you see when you look at the apple? Fruit? Maybe tree? When Jesus looks at apple, he can see the orchard. Because Jesus is not interested, he is interested in addition, but more he interested in multiplication. So he would look at the apple and he could see that it can be orchard growing out of it. So I will share notes from the cycle of evangelism called SALT, Share a Little Truth. And first it says, we need to prepare the soil. How can we prepare the soil of people's heart to receive the message? Christ Object Lessons, page 57, says, the sowers of the seed have a work to do in preparing hearts to receive the gospel. In the ministry of the word, there is too much sermonizing, but too little of real heart-to-heart work. There is need of personal labor for the souls of the lost. In Christ-like sympathy, we should come close to men individually and seek to awaken their interest in the great things of eternal life. Their hearts may be as hard as the beaten highway, and apparently it may be a useless effort to present the Savior to them. But while logic may fail to move and argument be powerless to convince, the love of Christ revealed in personal ministry may soften the stony heart so that the seed of truth can take root. So we can, we need to be intentionally kind, be friendly. It is a friendship evangelism. And the ministry of healing, Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy to them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidence. Then he bade them, follow me. So we are to mingle with people interested in their lives, in selfish service, and with relational integrity, showing sympathy to them, minister to their needs. Where are the needs of those in your life and your community? Have we intentionally decided to serve them? This is when we can win the confidence. The second point is plant the seed. Sow the seed of truth. So what is the seed? The seed is the word of God. How do you and I plant the seed? We need to be courageous enough to ask and make the invitation to a spiritual conversation. Yes, we do look after, we love people, but the final goal is to bring to Christ. So we need to use the word of God to invite people to Jesus. And Ecclesiastes 11:4-6, I can read it. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know what is the way of the wind and how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. So this text tells us, do not delay sowing. There is never a perfect time to share the word of God. We must be bold and take initiative. People will not always come to us. We must take initiative and go to people. Isaiah 32:20 says, Blessed are you who sow beside all waters. So we are go to all places, especially where we are led by the Spirit to places that are wanting the word of God. God designs his precious word with its messages of warning and encouragement. Shall come to those who are in darkness and are ignorant of our faith. It is to be given to all and will be to them a witness, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Do not feel that the responsibility rests upon you to convict or convert the hearers. The power of God alone can soften the hearts of the people. You are to hold forth the word of life, that all may have opportunities to receive the truth if they will. Testimony, page 7, volume 7. So number 3 is nurture the seed, or I would say the plant. How do we nurture? How do we disciple? What role do we have? And where does the Spirit work? We do through regular one-on-one Bible studies and sharing our resources. Invite them to be involved within the mission and community of the church. Experience the Christian walk with them. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So we are growing alongside with others. We help them, and we help ourselves as well. So we do through regular support and communication, through word of God, prayer, and practice in ministering to the needs of others. Pray for them. The Spirit will grow and nurture. If you remember in Book of Acts, the story of Philip and eunuch. So where Philip teaches and eunuch makes a decision. Philip was a guide by was guided by the Holy Spirit. It is not the preaching alone must be done. Far less preaching is needed. More time should be devoted to patiently educating others, giving the hearers opportunity to express themselves. It is instruction that many need, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Evangelism, page 338. And number 4, harvest the fruit. How do we harvest? How do we gain decisions? Calling for decisions for baptism, either personally or through the public evangelism. I will just summarize some briefly text. Psalm 126, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. So there is a sowing and reaping. Galatians 6:7, what you sow, you shall reap. 2 Corinthians 9:6, sow bountifully and reap bountifully. Isaiah 55:10, God's word will not return void. People must be giving tangible opportunities to respond and make commitments. There is a sowing time, but it must come with the reaping time. God promises his word does not come back void, and it will convict and bring decisions. Cycle is replant a seed and the harvest multiplies. We preserve new disciples through practical discipleship. Teach them how to walk with Jesus. John 4:14, a fountain springing up to those who find what Jesus offers to them. Matthew 28:19, make disciples, this is our mission. 2 Timothy 2:2, teach others also, so we are to teach others of evangelism. Revelation 22:17, let him who hears say, come. There is a call to follow a life as Jesus lived, both to us in the church and those who have recently joined the family of God. The call is to make disciples. It is not to make members or attendees, but create a vibrant and sold-out church who is dedicated to discipling those after baptism to reach the lost. It is a command. It is not a choice or an option for those who are followers of Jesus. So, and by not involving our new members of our church in the gospel work, we simply lose them. Discipleship involves self-denial and sacrifice. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Matthew 16. Whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciples. Luke 14. What does it mean to forsake all? It will cost us the mortification of our sins and the life of self-denial and conflict, a conflict with our lusts and the enemy and ridicule of the world. It cost our reputation, possibly our lives and liberty, and all that is everything what is dear to us. Every man who becomes a follower of Jesus should calmly and deliberately look at all the consequences of such and be prepared to meet them. Sometimes we think that, what can I do? I'm not that good at many things. We need to have just desire, and God can see it in our hearts, and He will take this desire and do something the best. We don't have to be teachers or preachers, and God still gifted us with many gifts. We just need to find it. And there is a place for everyone in God's field. I'm going to tell you the story now, and this story I shared already with some of my friends, and maybe you heard somewhere else. Well, you have to listen this again. I'm sorry if you've heard it. I like this story. It makes me very emotional. This story starts from the city Ushuaia. It's located roughly 1,100 kilometers from the Antarctic Peninsula in South America, and is one of the five internationally recognized Antarctic Gateway cities. Ushuaia climbs the title of the world's southernmost city. This is just a geographical location I'll give it to you. And the ship which sails from Ushuaia to Antarctica has to go through the roughest seas in the world. On one journey through the Drake Passage, one of the crew members, the most of the crew members were Russians, who was working under the stormy conditions, fell overboard. It was night. It would be impossible to save somebody in such situation. And they were trying to slow down the boat and turn around to try to save that person. But it was hard to see because it was dark and very noisy. The wives were very noisy. And on that boat was a person, was a passenger, feeling sick. And he was feeling that while that person doing his work fell over the board. And then an announcement was made through the loud speaker for everybody to come and have a look if they can see that missing person, if somebody can spot him. And this particular passenger felt so sick that he couldn't do anything. He had to go down to the cabin, trying to lay down. By the way, it is a true story. trying to lay down, but he felt that he needed to do something to help. He wondered what he can do. He went to the window, opened the curtains, and looked outside, but it was so dark there he couldn't see anything. And he went and lied on his bed, wondering what was happening there and if they were able to find the men. Next morning, sea calmed down, and the first thing he did, raced upstairs and asked one of the crew members what had happened to that man who fell overboard. And he said, you wouldn't believe it, they rescued him. You can talk to him. So he ran to this man and said how lucky he was. And the crew member told what had happened. He said, I fell over, the water was so cold. And I knew I couldn't last for very long in that cold water. But nobody could see and hear me. Then the most amazing thing happened. Somebody opened the curtain, and the light from the room shone straight through the window on me. And they saw me and rescued me. So this person thought that he couldn't do anything because he was not able. But actually, this person saved that crew member. And sometimes that thoughts, discouraging thoughts, can stop us from doing God's work and bringing people to Christ. Sometimes we feel that we have no value and we are not gifted. But even this story tells me that God can do anything and take all our little desires and help us. So we do not disciple. If we do not disciple, we do not fulfill the commission of the church, which says to make disciple of Jesus Christ, who live as his loving witnesses to proclaim to all people the everlasting gospel of the three angels' messages. So, how will you disciple? Do you find yourself in the position where you feel you need training to do so, or perhaps you need discipling yourself? How can we as a church cultivate community of disciples and help each other disciple others? Are you willing to be bold and reach out to those who could do with discipling and reaching? If this is your desire, reach out to the leadership and those our church today. We can pray for you, and we can pray for everyone. So, and we can pray for the help from the Holy Spirit as we go forward to see our personal lives and this church community to be discipleship-making movement. Thank you. Maybe I should pray now, hey? Let's pray now, and then we will sing the last hymn. Close your eyes and we'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to share your word, and thank you for your spirit. the Spirit of Truth. May you help us to be true disciples of Christ. May you help us to desire to reach others, to see the victory. We want to be like your first disciples, filled with your Holy Spirit, filled with love for Christ and for those whom he died. We want to see how their hearts melt when they hear your word, and we want to see the great harvest. We thank you for all these things, and we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.